Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and you're right, Terry. The phone lines are open. We are taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. And I mean Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mark Cameron. Hello.
Hi, Becky. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Becky. Hi, Mark.
You know, I was just talking with Mark before the program started, and I said, you know, it's funny because I know that we have lots of you who are listening at different times than when we're broadcasting. And so I want to just encourage you, make an appointment. You can call us, 1-800-229-3000. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're usually when we're recording. But, you know, we're always here for you to help you find hope and help for your life. You know, one of the things that we hear about all the time and we talk about a lot are boundaries, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think sometimes the challenges are with boundaries is, first of all, how to set them, but also thinking erroneously that they are going to feel good to everybody involved. Let's talk about boundaries. Jill and Mark, what are some basics of boundaries, and what can people expect, or, you know, just try to make a difference?
I think when people first are learning about setting boundaries, I find that people often think that you have to do it so strongly, where they almost become like steel walls that people, you know, that don't breathe. And I think it's important to realize that a boundary is not a steel wall that keeps people out, right? And I know that John and Henry describe it a lot like it's a picket fence, and it has a gate, and that it has some ability to breathe, and you can open and close the gate, but you're in charge of that. And so boundaries are more about yourself, what works for you and what doesn't. And you can, in love, let somebody know that, right? It doesn't have to be an angry conversation.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be harsh. I mean, boundaries, just to define it's really where we tell where our rights and space begin and other people's rights and space end, right? And sometimes those things overlap, right? People have a right to speak, and we have a right to listen if we want to, right? And so, and that's where the tension is, right? And so, but just because a boundary might not feel good inside to set, right? Sometimes when we do have to have these specific talks with people just to kind of set a boundary, doesn't mean it's a bad thing. You know, that tension can be good.
Right. It can. Sometimes, I know for some people it feels like rejection, but really it's about preserving relationship.
Right? Yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, because when we do set a boundary, it's about how we get better together, right? Because when we don't have boundaries, right, that's when we don't speak up, and then there's resentment and bitterness and anger.
Right.
Well, and many times what we experience when we set the boundary, initially the person will feel, oh, I've accomplished something, until the first person wants to offend that boundary, and then it doesn't feel good. What can you do when you've tried to set a boundary and it's not working? That gate is wide open.
You mean the person pushes through the gate instead of letting you,
like
you
a bull,
open it?
Well, I think you have to, you know, again, with a boundary, there needs to be a consequence or a cost. You need to have an action that you take, and that needs to be predetermined. And sometimes you have to tell the person what the boundary is going to be. If X happens, then I'm going to have to do Y. But you really have to follow through, because if you don't follow through, you condition people to believe that, you know, the boundary doesn't exist, or they don't have to follow it.
Right.
Yeah, it is always something, and it is a practice. And I think as people learn how to set the boundaries and they experience that freedom like you guys are talking about, it makes the difference in all of your relationships, and you have a sense of peace. You know, if you don't have a sense of peace, or if you're struggling with something, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. It could be a boundary issue. It might be that the gate is off the hinges. Who knows? But you can give us a call, and we'll help you. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I was just thinking about that boundary of the break that we had to take, but
yes.
You know, we're going to continue taking calls at 1-800-229-3000. But Jill, you were thinking of a boundary.
Well, I was just thinking because last night my daughter set a boundary with me, and I was very aware that she was doing it and that I needed to, you know, respect that. And I can be quite animated and mm-hmm. I get excited about things. And for my daughter at times, especially when she's wants to tell me something of emotional significance or that feels very important to her, she doesn't need a lot of reaction from me, even if it's happy reaction, right? And so, Mom, I have something to tell you, but I'd like you not to react. It's like, okay. So then I just kind of put on my therapist face.
Yeah.
And inside, you know, I'm doing a jig, but it's
yes. Right. Sometimes it's hard to be on the other side, right? We're talking about setting boundaries, but what does it feel like to be on the other side of boundaries? And sometimes that's when our stuff comes up, right? Our
yes.
rejection, our unseen, our unheard wounds
right.
come up, and we have to learn how to manage that and think in terms of, okay, if it were me on the other side, what would I want? And
well,
that can
right.
be hard.
And to realize that it's about the person. Like, I had to realize, okay, this is something difficult for her. I needed to give her that space, right, and not intrude on that space. And so because she couldn't handle any of it. So it was really good.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. And, you know, what you were just saying, too, Mark, about, you know, we just have to learn to manage our emotions, which is boundary setting, which is being able to hear what other people need to say and to share. So thank you, Jill, for being the example for all of us today.
Still learning.
We're gonna go to the calls, and we're going to talk with Ashley, who's calling us from Waco, Texas, listens on KBBW. Hi, Ashley. I'm so glad you called today. How can we help you?
Hi. Well, I was just calling because I recently got married, and I haven't been on social media that much. And then when I hopped back on it, I noticed my husband was liking, like, old school friends. And, like, one picture was, like, a girl dressed in a red dress. And she was, like, showing all of her, basically mostly of her body. And he liked it. And I felt like that was kind of disrespectful in a sense. But kind of a jealous person. So I don't know if I, like, handled it wrong or...
Well, how did you handle it?
You guys thought about it.
How did you handle it, Ashley?
Well, I spoke to him about it, and he basically was like, well, they're just childhood friends. I don't feel anything sexual toward them, and so I took his word for it, and that's just basically where I'm at with it.
Well, all right, Jill or Mark, how would you instruct Ashley? How long have you guys been married, Ashley, just for curiosity?
We'll be married a year on May 7th.
Okay. So you're establishing some new connections there. All right. Mark, Jill, how can you help Ashley?
Well, Ashley, I think the fact that it's good that you voiced what you were feeling. It's important to bring things into relationship and to set that precedence that we can talk about anything and everything. And that your husband, you know, gave you an explanation. But I think it's important to look at, you said you're a jealous person. So where is that lack of security coming from? And I'm not saying his choice was an okay choice. And I think both of you need to look at how can we protect our marriage? How can we really show each other that we're putting each other first? So I don't know if this is a problem where he doesn't help to make you secure or that you've brought insecurities, most likely, into the marriage.
Yeah.
Right? And so there are some wounds there. And so it's important, especially early on, you need to learn what works for each other and what doesn't, and how you can be a part of each other's healing process.
Yeah, what else did you feel, Ashley? Was there anything more than jealousy that you felt or that you do feel?
Just sort of like he was going out of his way to, like, get attention. Like, he changed his, like, it's just weird stuff how those social media sites do things. They make it to where stuff looks sneaky. And it's just, like, that's why I try to stay off of it. But Yeah, I just felt kind of like betrayed a little bit because the picture was like the girl was sitting in front of a bed and like it was just like I didn't care. I just thought it was disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think this is a great opportunity. And again, you're newly married to be able to start to open up these conversations, right? And because these are, you know, these are conversations that are going to be ongoing, these hard conversations where you know, when we get married, usually, you know, that first year, there's a lot of infatuation kind of still follows over, right? And we you know, just see a lot of the good. And then as we get into marriage, right, that's when, you know, some of those positive feelings start to fade away and real life sets in, right? And this is a good opportunity to be able to start to discuss some of these things, because I think you're right too, though, right? We don't want our spouse looking at provocative pictures of people of the opposite sex and then liking them. That does make us feel unsafe. And so I think, you know, what you're feeling is valid. But I encourage you to sit down and talk to him about the vulnerable feeling that you felt, not just the jealousy, because sometimes when we tell people, you know, oh, we just feel jealous, it can seem like, well, that's our problem. But if we can tell people also that it makes us feel insecure and it makes us feel unsafe, right, that becomes a little bit more vulnerable. Did you guys do any type of premarital counseling?
No, we just, I mean, we talk openly and stuff, but no counseling or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always think that post-marital counseling, mm-hmm. right, after yeah, the right. wedding, I think is almost even yeah. more valuable, right? Especially, okay, right. you're in the first year here, and you don't want these patterns. We don't want to have you calling at year 20 saying, well, this pattern started in year one, right? So to be right. able to get into therapy, to be preventative, really, mm-hmm. right? And to learn how to address these things in a more effective way.
What were you going to say, Ashley?
Yeah, and he also was saying that he wanted to seek counseling because he didn't know if he was handling it the correct way. So that made me feel better, but it's like he didn't really think that it was like an issue that he liked the pictures. And like, he does work as an electrician, so he has like clients, and there was another female on there that was a client, and she was posting herself all like she had her makeup did and everything, and then he liked that picture, and he doesn't even know her. He just knows her as like somebody going to her house and like doing work for her. So
Ashley, I don't know if you heard the first part of the program today, but this is a good example of a boundary that needs to be set that, you know, and it's right. in on the surface, it would seem that it's harmless. However, it is not, because it's hurting you and it's ultimately going to impact your relationship. The great thing is that he's open to talking about it and that you guys are talking about it. And like you said, Mark, in the first year of marriage, you're negotiating all kinds of things. You know, you're just trying to figure out how do we do this thing called marriage and life together.
And I think that's a good sign that he's saying that he wants to go to counseling to learn how to talk with you about it. And again, it's an adjustment, right? Because when we get married, we go from this kind of me mindset to, and we need to adjust to this we mindset. Yeah. And while some things, you know, that you know, some practices, maybe liking pictures before when we only had to think about ourselves was okay. But right. now when we have to consider the feelings of someone else and how it could be perceived,
look at, is there anything that is tantalizing about that
sure.
for him?
Sure,
right?
Yeah. I once heard someone say that marriage is rubbing the selfish edges off of ourselves, right? Because we don't, until we come across somebody who pushes back and says, hey, I'm not sure about that, right? Sometimes we don't realize, and they're blind spots for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I'd encourage you guys, Ashley, we're going to be in Dallas in October with our intimacy and marriage workshop, and it would be a great way for you guys to, you know, start to work on this. You know, we encourage people to come to the marriage workshop, even if there's not a crisis, but just to really build into your relationship so that you can experience a great life together. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love, because I think that will be, encouragement as you kind of figure this thing out. You know, marriage, it's the great adventure. And You know, I think what you said, Jill, was so profound. We, you know, we get calls every single day. When was the first time that you saw this happening? And they say, when we first got married, I knew that something was wrong. And we just want to encourage people to address the thing at the point
sooner.
Where it's better to have those conversations. We're so glad you called, Ashley. We're going to go to caller Mr. G. I don't know if I can access that, Terry. Maybe not. Can I? Okay. Well, maybe not. I can't do it. In the meantime, you know, one of the things that we talk about all the time is our workshop, Restore, where women who've experienced betrayal. And, you know, we had a woman who went to Restore, and she said the workshop helped her see that she wasn't the problem. She wasn't making things worse, but she was experiencing that. But once she went to the workshop, she figured out how to take care of herself, how to set those boundaries, and, you know, just find a way to healing. And so, you know, whenever those kind of things come up, it can be real tricky, but we can help you in that. I think I can go to our caller now. And Mr. G is calling from Hampton, Virginia, and listens on SiriusXM. Hello, and how can we help you today?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing well.
I think my wife takes me for granted, and we've been married about 7 years, and every time, you know, when it happens, she tries to, you know, get back in good with me, but, you know, it keeps happening, and I'm kind of fed up with it. I don't want to be, but it's just not right, you know. And
okay.
I tell her about it. I speak to her about it, and she's like, "Oh, I don't take it for granted. It's not ever, but you display it, and then you display it around people, and that's when I have a big issue with that."
Okay,
but
all
you
right,
know,
Mark.
She's a different person at home, but then she's a different person when we're out.
I'm curious here. In what ways is she taking you for granted?
Around people.
What's she doing?
She knows that, you know, I love her and stuff, and so the things that I think that I support her with, she doesn't support me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm like, that's not right.
Can you give us an example, Mr. G?
With the kids, you know, we had different kids through marriage. I support her kids, and then when it comes to my kids, she doesn't support, and I don't think that's right. I tell her about, oh, I got things to do, this and that, this and that. And I'm like, that's not right, you know. And so I'm like, and it's just more, it's a little more to it as well. And, you know, kind of disrespect around people, you know. And I'm like, hey, you didn't have to do that in front of people, you know. Some things you could talk about, or, you know, display gestures and stuff around people, you know. Now you kind of like, putting your laundry out there, and then they see it, and that's not right either.
So you don't feel connected with each other, even though you've been married for all these years, and it's coming out in the form of feeling like you're being taken for granted or disrespectful or disrespected.
Curious, Mr. G, is there anyone else in your history that you've felt that way around?
No, not really. You know, I mean, I had a good childhood life. You know, my mom and dad was there. You know, I no problems, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what did she say, your wife? Because it sounds like she's not really seeing it as she is taking you for granted. What does she say when you bring your concerns up to her?
Well, she's saying that, you know, you're looking at it different, you know. And then I explained to her the way she's different, and then she's like, oh, I didn't know I said that. Oh, I didn't know I did that. I'm like, you got to be joking with me.
So you feel unseen and unheard in this relationship, and yet you are attracted to each other. You're married for 7 some years, right? I mean, so it's
but
not
it's
like...
It's got to be more than that.
Absolutely.
You know? Sexual is, you know, is not... Mm-hmm. I think sexual is like 50%, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or 40,
all right.
You know,
Mr. G, hold on.
Yes.
You can hear the music. We're going to go to a commercial, but we'll be right back, and we'll help with this issue. You know, marriage, like I just said, it's an adventure, and you never know what the path is going to bring. And whenever you hit a obstacle, you want to address it as soon as possible, because it can become really a problem. We'll be right back. Call us 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking your calls at 1-800-229-3000 for a couple hours, and we've got some lines open and people that are waiting, and we are going to get to the calls. But right now we're talking with Mr. G, who is talking about the disconnect in his marriage, feels disrespected, and they're just not on the same page. So, Mark, Jill, what can we do to help?
So the reason I ask that question, Mr. G, is oftentimes what we'll see is that, you know, somebody is a trigger in front of us, and the things that they do subconsciously oftentimes remind us of another relationship, and we end up responding to that person in that way. But you said that you can think of that being the case. Sometimes, too, what happens is we don't have experiences in childhood that, you know, give us exposure to the relationships that we end up being in. For mm-hmm. instance, we may have somebody who listened to us all the time.
Right.
And so we didn't have that opportunity to bump up against, you know, a friction where that happened. And so then we didn't end up learning these skills. What I'm thinking for you that might be really, really helpful, and in their book, How We Love, Mylan and Kay Yerkovich talk about something called a comfort circle, which is a listener-speaker role, which is really a structured way of learning how to sit down. And each of you have these defined roles where one of you says, hey, I'm going to be the listener, and the other person gets to speak. But it's not just about, you know, just unloading. It's really about, learning how to hone down and say, what is the underlying feeling here, and what is the corresponding emotional need, and then requesting that need from the other person, and each of you getting to do that. And you guys may have just kind of differences of personality, and sometimes it's also about accepting those differences of personality, but also being able to respect each other's needs.
Mm-hmm. Jill, you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, no, I think that's really good, Mark. I think that it sounds like your wife is not being malicious. It really, from what you describe, sounds like she's unaware. And so you do need those times of talking about, what, like you said, what you both need. And if your wife is more of an extrovert and she's out in public and just being very social, that can feel wounding to someone who mm-hmm. is used to having someone attend to them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How do we share that attention? And to talk about that, and perhaps, you know, realizing for you too that, okay, this is a shared attention space mm-hmm. versus a one-on-one space, and that is going to look different. So both of you learning how to kind of meet in the middle on those things. Mm-hmm.
And you might need someone to help you do that. Mm-hmm. So have you guys considered counseling?
It is doing right now. We just can't find anyone.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I really just didn't want to do anybody counseling, kind of like maybe a spiritual counselor.
Well, Mr. G, you are in luck, because we've got a great group of therapists in that area that mm-hmm. we will connect you with. And, you know, I was also thinking, I know I sound like a commercial,
no,
so
but
forgive
it's true.
Me, but
go ahead.
we're going to be in Washington, D.C. for our intimacy and marriage workshop. And it would be a great
place
for you guys mm-hmm. to come and just experience some training, some healing, some practical steps forward. And we'll give you all the information for that. And I think we're going to send you a copy of How We Love to get you started along that line that you were talking about, Mark. The comfort circle really is just such a great practical tool. Mm-hmm. And so many couples think, you know, it's so like practical. It doesn't seem like it's warm and fuzzy, but boy, once you get into that, just the framework mm-hmm. can change everything about the way that you connect with each other. So we're glad you called, and I hope that you will see us in July. We're going to talk with Kim, who's calling us from Honolulu, Hawaii. She listens on the internet, and you can too. Kim, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Thank you very much for taking my call. My bottom line question is, as the parent of an adult male, 26 years old, he has a wife, no children. How can I help him through validation? So that's the basic question. To give you a little bit of background, they've been married for 3 years now. My son has a sexual addiction issue. He has been unfaithful to her with a one-night stand, also sexting. They both have sought counseling through the chaplain in the Army as well as through their church. He is just started going to an addiction class. The counselor is telling him that he has a chaplain, a validation issue, a lot of trauma in the background. He was right outside of the room when my husband committed suicide, so he's having severe issues with that. And then that was his stepfather who basically raised him. His father left him us when he was 2 years old, but he still has a relationship, but it's not great. He feels like the only two people in the world he has are me and his wife, but he is seeking out supposedly validation from other women. My daughter-in-law, who is amazingly wonderful, wants to try to make the marriage work out. My son does as well. They want to make this work.
Okay.
But I want to find a way to help him.
All right. Well, it's such a great question, Kim. You can hear the music. We're going to take a short break and continue. We'll answer your question. You know, so much heartache is, you know, when we talk about addiction, we use things that help, but they're not helpful. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's like
trying to soothe oneself.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So it makes sense, but it doesn't help in the long run. And I think we can offer some help. If you need help, you can call us 1-800-229-3000, and we will take a break and we'll be right back after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Kim, whose son is dealing with a sexual addiction, and he's doing some work, which is great. And we're happy to hear that the couple wants to work this out and to get through this. But there's some issues that we got to deal with. Mark, you want to start?
Yeah, I'm wondering, Kim, here, what are some of your son's commitment levels? I know you're saying that everybody here wants to make the relationship work, but knowing that he has had this affair, this one-night stand, knowing that he has a sexual addiction, what is he doing about it, aside from just seeing the chaplain?
He tells me on the phone that he's seeking out God's word daily. Mm-hmm. He tells me he's in the word. He tells me he's trying to keep himself busy with other things so his mind doesn't wander, like he is very much into fitness. He is getting ready to be discharged medically from the Army, secondary to an autoimmune disease they've just found. So he's busy getting all that done, but also seeking new job opportunities. But other than doing the counseling and doing the addiction class, there's not much. When I continue to ask him about it, he just starts to get angry with me.
Yeah, so anger is a defense mechanism, right? It's a resistance defense mechanism that's happening here. And so there's more that he really needs to be doing for his wife to feel safe. He really needs to be in a 12-step program. You know, when affairs happen, right, you're talking about here the validation issue. And so that's maybe the why or some of the why for the affair. But really, you know, they need to process through the destruction of the affair. You know, whenever I have couples, and I explain it to them this way, right, that this is like the processing through the destruction is the ER visit. Right, you're not going to go to the ER to manage your chronic conditions, or if you have a chronic conditions like diabetes, but your leg is falling off, and if you go to the doctor, they're not going to focus on your diabetes. They're going to focus on stopping the bleeding. And so, what really needs to happen is they need to be under the care of somebody who a professional who is familiar with betrayal trauma. To help them process through that part. And as they process through that part, right, the why of the affair will come out. But he also does need to be showing that he can become safe again.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, problems like this are compounded, right? Because the sexting and sexual acting out is the symptom of the trauma that he experienced early on in life. But then it has consequences. It takes on a life of its own. And so you kind of have to address it at every level. So, Mark, I like that they need to be in marital to address that there's bleeding in their relationship. And then his work with the chaplain, being in a 12-step program, getting into some individual therapy with a trauma specialist to deal with the trauma that he's really trying to run away from, right? Mm-hmm. Because all of the sexting and the sexual acting out is a way to feel good and to soothe himself and to override those feelings that are deep down.
That's right.
And so that's where, you know, we were talking at the break, Becky, you get those dopamine hits every time you send a picture or you look at something, right? Or when you act out. So in that moment, it makes you feel powerful and it brings a lot of pleasure. But afterwards, you sink down even lower, right? Because the shame and the self-loathing, and nobody can validate that away. No person on the outside. He's got to look at that and look at where it's really coming from and how two men in his life, my gosh, both left him in devastating ways when he was just a little guy, right? Yeah. So,
well, so, you know, Kim, we're gonna send you a copy of Every Man's Battle. And also, I know we have a network therapist in your area, believe it or not. And we've got an Every Man's Battle workshop that's going to be online May 13th. And I know I sound like a commercial.
But I don't know that he's in Hawaii.
Yeah, I think. Oh, is he? You don't think? Well, let's see.
Because she says she talks to him remotely.
Yeah.
Kim, is he with you or is he somewhere else?
No, he's in Kansas. He's at Fort Riley, Kansas.
Oh, even better. We've got definitely have people stateside. So, but we're going to do an Every Man's Battle workshop on May 15th. It's an online, and actually for her, we've got the Restore workshop. So we, you know, and it's online too.
So that's addressing things from all angles, right? You want to get the most support you can to get through this.
Right. And the other part too, Kim, when you listed all of the things for what he was doing, they're all individual things. And what we know for sure is he needs to be in group. He needs to be known by other people, other men. This is what we talk about all the time is, you know, men, become healthy in the company of other men where they're all, that's why we talked about the 12 step. But Every Man's Battle is May 13th online. And we'll get you the connection for that and we'll send him a copy of Every Man's Battle. You're a good mom for listening. And you may have to like wind it back.
Well, and how you can help Kim if some of these things aren't affordable to him, perhaps you could help support that way.
There you go. Well, and speaking of support, Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio right now. And Larry, you're always seeking support for
Becky, this is a
lots of different reasons.
This is a different one. You know, I come in and read testimonies all the time. And this note came in. It was very humbling, and it almost made me feel a little embarrassed that I talk about money so glibly sometimes. This lady wrote in to say, let me just read a sentence or two. It's a longer testimony. We have two small grocery chains that you pay 25 cents to get your cart and get it back when you return your cart. I collected 100 carts for the month of December, where did it go? The line ran by. And she got $25, and she gave that back to us.
Aww. Oh.
And she talks about other ministries she tries to do the same for. And so there's somebody she's an older woman. She loves what we do. She wants to help us. She obviously doesn't have resources. But she...
Super creative.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it.
So, folks, I know you can make a gift. I mean, this woman's collecting 100 carts to send $25.
To get quarters.
Yeah, get quarters. Mm. So if you could just consider making a gift to New Life, it would be helpful. We want to keep doing what we're doing for a long, long time. We have, we go through cycles. The economy right now is a challenge. There's a lot to consider. But I hope it's not the fear that has grabbed you, that I can't give now because I don't know what tomorrow is going to be. Tomorrow,
and you know,
go ahead.
Well, and your support helps us help others. And
there you
so,
go.
You know, when people are struggling with fear or relationships, you know, New Life is there for them. And during April, for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a copy of Dr. Henry Cloud's newest book called Trust. And, you know, that's a big issue that a lot of people struggle with, whether it is because it's been broken for you, you know, somebody else did it to you, but then, you know, maybe in a relationship. But Henry's got some wisdom and a gift of any amount to New Life, which will help others. We will send you a copy of that.
Thank you, Becky. You tell them.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And, you know, we always want to say thank you to Club New Life, our monthly
yes.
givers who help us in so many ways. And we're so grateful that you are faithful to the ministry that we are offering hope and help to so many people. Thank you, Larry.
Alrighty.
We're going to go back to the calls. And let's see. We're going to go to Raina, who's calling us from Dallas and listens on KWRD. Hi, Raina. How can we help you today?
Yes. What we're saying about my husband, I've been in a relationship 18 years, and like I said, his mother, he's been controlling him, I've been rejecting, and I don't know what to do.
Okay. How close does she live to you, Raina?
She lives about 14 hours away.
Okay.
But it's like a neighbor.
Oh, okay. All right. And what are some of the things that she's doing that's controlling you or controlling the marriage?
Mostly him. Mostly my voice doesn't count, to not to listen to my opinions, and because we're not talking the same. She told him that I have some mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started to believe her. He started mm-hmm. to pay attention to her. She's a psychologist.
Okay.
Raina, what's your question?
Yes. My question is, what can I do? Sometimes I feel very, very disappointed and very sad because...
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you can hear the music. Raina, hold on. We're going to take a short break and we'll get back to your call. And we are still taking calls. We've got calls lined up for the next hour, 1-800-229-3000, some open lines. If you are having some difficulty, give us a call because we can help. We're going to help Raina after this. We appreciate that you're listening to New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I mentioned earlier about our Restore Online workshop. It's going to be June 10th online. So if you're interested, please give us a call. We're talking with Raina right now, who's been married 18 years, but her mother-in-law has a louder voice in her marriage than she does. I think that's about right. Mark, Jill, where do you want to start?
Well, Raina, I would wonder, at what point in your marriage did you feel like suddenly your mother-in-law was kind of figuratively in the house with you, and that your husband became more aligned with her than with you? You know, was there a distinct point where things shifted, or has it been that way from day one? If it's been that way from day one, there's a problem with him leaving and cleaving and really committing to you emotionally. If it happened along the way, then what changed? And a lot of times in marriages, we've talked about, they start off and everything's great. It's the honeymoon period. And then as things become more real and you realize you've married a very imperfect person, sometimes that can be a point of someone not navigating that well. I mean, we all have to come to terms and accept the other person and then grow together. So,
yeah.
Right? So I don't know what it is for you. Can you?
Yes. The beginning when we met each other, when the first 2 years, 3 years, 2 years and a half, he started to treat me very nice, very good. And then he started to hang out with his friend of his job. They started to drink a lot and not hang out with me anything. Then he started to drink more and more and coming late. And then he started to lie. I find out he was lying to me. Mm-hmm. He wasn't too honest. So his parents are... I started to ask for help for them, and every time I was telling them that area, it was like they not accepting what I was telling them. They're trying to tell me I was lying, and I was just screaming for help for my marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Gosh, well, that's the whole picture there, Raina. That tells us the whole picture about what's going on. And it sounds like no matter what you've tried, you're not getting the help that you need for your marriage.
No. And I found out he was having another issue with his desire as a couple, you know. Yeah, I started to look for the Lord in his mercy. He found me. And I started to read the Bible, and I started to, only the Lord was healing me over and over. My heart was so broken. I was having a problem with my unbalanced thinking and behaviors. And then I realized I was also, he was kind of controlling me to behave a wrong way. That way he can have his voice, he's right.
Right. All right, Mark. Well, let's see if we can get you some help.
Yeah, so Raina, your question was, what can I do? And I just want to find out real quick. Have you guys tried counseling? Have you guys gone to someone together?
I tried so badly. He don't want it. He don't want to listen anything. And I say, if you don't want to listen, it's for you good. It's for our good. It's for our family, too. And he...
So sometimes when there's, you know, a couple and one member wants to go to therapy and the other one doesn't, I tell the person who is willing, you go. You go to therapy. You learn some skills. You explain to the counselor what is happening and have that person help you learn how to engage your spouse into conversations. And oftentimes what we'll see happen too is as one person starts to improve, it makes it more safe for the resistant person to come to therapy. Well, they see the benefits of therapy happening.
Well, and you can also invite them and say, could you come to therapy and tell my counselor what I need to work on, right? Some input of what it's like to live with me. And sometimes inviting them as the helper can be a way of bringing them in.
Because then the focus is not on them in
right,
therapy.
Right, because a lot of times they're afraid they're going to
but
be the main focus.
But they are then participating in therapy, right?
Yes.
So that's a way to get them into it. Because I'm sure your husband has complaints. You know, we all have complaints against our spouses, right? I'm sure he does. And if you give him that opportunity to say, hey, I want to get better at the things that you... complain about me. So could you come and explain that to my counselor and have that person, so that person can help me get better?
The whole point is to get the two of you engaged, right? Instead of him engaging with mom and that being his primary connection, we want to re-engage him with you.
One of the things that I'm thinking too, Raina, I don't know if you've ever considered this, but to participate in either Al-Anon or a life recovery group.
I was thinking that too.
Because finding your voice is part of this process, but it's not going to be by just yelling louder and saying no more. It really is to understand where you begin and end and to have other people around you. Right now, it sounds like you're all by yourself fighting this by yourself. Because he just says no, and you can see the problems, but he's aligned with his mom and his excuses.
And a lot of times, his boys.
And his boys, all the things, and his drink, and all the things. And I think what we talk about in recovery is the process of, you know, working your side of the street and, you know, inviting him into the process. But if he says no, that doesn't mean that you don't have any resources to move forward in your life. And it's amazing. You guys know this. We started the program with boundaries. You know, when you set a boundary or you establish a boundary, it's going to take practice and it's going to take opening and closing that gate. I know I keep going back to that. I think that would just be a good step in the right direction. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible because you talked about getting back in God's Word. And we're going to connect you with, you know, a life recovery group in the area. Because we know that community is going to be part of this healing journey so that you're not by yourself.
Well, and you learn how to deal with somebody who's actively still using, right?
Right.
If he's still drinking, how he responds to you is through that filter. And so it's good to learn how to be able to take care of yourself. Like you said, Becky, have a voice, learn some healthy detachment, and be able to set boundaries. And he's going to notice that shift.
Yeah, and he's not going to like it at first.
No.
I mean, but he doesn't like what's happening now. He just ignores it. And I think, you know, in relationships, we just had a couple of calls today about this, where, you know, one party is not supportive or respectful of the other party. And there's lots of different ways to describe that. And in marriage, we have to work towards being on the same page for the same purpose, you know, that we're individuals, but we are honoring our marriage in the way that we behave and we move about in the world. And so I hope that's helpful to you, Raina. Jill and Mark, you guys are so wise, and I'm so glad you were with us today. I'm glad that our listening audience was with us today, and I know that you can listen so many different ways through the app. We have a free app you can download. We've got the podcast. We've got YouTube. Hello, YouTube family. We're so glad you're there. Share and subscribe and tell somebody about New Life, because you never know what a difference it's going to make. We're going to continue taking calls for the next hour. We've got some lined up, but you can call us 1-800-229-3000. Mark or Jill, do you have any words of wisdom as we go away from this show and go into the next one?
What I would say is if you've heard something today that's resonated with you about setting a boundary, do it. Take a risk. Think about what it is that you want to do and implement that today. No better than today to do it.
Excellent. Excellent advice. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.